This is Will Your Werewolf, and this is Werewolf the Podcast, episode 141. A lot of stuff has gone on, so you might need to go back and listen to many of the episodes to understand what is going on. I think we're on part 20 of this right now. If you would go down to the description and have a read and go to the links, there's some great places to go. You can go to the group in Facebook where there's lots of like-minded, like-minded people, get it? Like, and then there's YouTube and there's Twitter. Is it called Twitter these days or is it X? I have no idea. And Instagram and all those kind of things. You can also buy me a coffee and buy us a coffee and buy us a house if you want. It's up to you. Apart from that, hope you really enjoy the show. The air was heavy with roiling steam. The shower was heavenly. I smiled. I now knew what heaven was. It wasn't this, no. I've been to heaven, it didn't look anything like this, but in this moment, this was, well, much more of a wonderful experience than the heaven that I'd been to. The hot water poured over my body and felt like the touch and caress of a lover. I stood and just simply breathed and breathed as what felt like my soul's dust, dirt and sins were rinsed from my skin and from my aching body. I don't bloody get you monkeys loving this water thing so much, the wolf's soul said in my head. He was sitting outside the shower. Our death, or my death, I'm not sure, had separated us. You can go back and listen to it in the episodes if you want. And he'd come back at my return, my rebirth, my whatever it was. It was now as if we'd never been separated. Life just continued. Just bloody looks wet and uncomfortable to me, he continued speaking to me through our, you know, telepathic mind link. What happened to you then when I went? I asked Fen. Nothing much to be honest, but we've got bigger fish to fry with this guy into the room. Well, this is not your usual let's just wing it thing. This man is bloody serious. Just bloody serious trouble, the wolf told me with a worried tone. So, what are we actually walking into here? I asked the soul, rinsing the soap from my hair. Showers genuinely are the work of God, they have to be, and this one was particularly heavenly with perfect temperature and perfect pressure. You know him, don't you? I asked. Oh, well, he's been around for a bloody long time, Will, the wolf continued. He's been a bit of a pain in the ass, really, throughout the years, to be honest. The first time I've heard anything about him was he was born in the 12th century. I know it's not easy to believe he is that old. He was, and I think he still is, the 6th Earl of Leicester, Simon de Montfort. He was youngest son at family and never really expected to do anything exceptional in life. Except he did lots of exceptional things and he still is. He's always been a useful individual. He's always doing something to fuck around with history, but mainly he seems to do it in a good way for the human race, that is. In his own lifetime, he was one of the progenitors of Parliament. You know, he stripped the King, Henry, who'd been his pal, for much of his power and brought more power into hands at people. Well, we say people, we mean like rich landowners that had been lucky enough to be born with dicks, you know. No women or poor. That wouldn't be the point, would it? But it was a step in the right direction. He was always a great soldier and strategist, an accomplished fighter in all forms of combat. I know he didn't look type, but other knights really respected him and some would leave the battlefield if they knew he was leading the charge. I could go on like into some details. Let's say he was involved in various crusades and wars from young age and was, well, bloody good at them. I now just stood in the deep falls of the shower, soaking in the heat and listening. Glory be thy name, plumber, who did this? Simon and I, the wolf continued, have been linked many times throughout centuries. I was partnered with the greatest knight that ever lived, William Marshall, as you know. He and I were together for only a short time. William's religious zeal could not really allow him to deal with me. He got to the point where he decided to pass. Yeah, you heard that right. He decided to die, and he did. He didn't commit suicide, he just gave up on his life and died. William's wife, Eleanor of England, married Simon. Eleanor was King's sister. From then, he's sort of popped in and out of my life many times. What happened after Eleanor? Why is he immortal? I asked the wolf. I'm getting there. Let's not be too hasty. You need to be clued in on how this guy's head works. He's no straightforward human, Fenn told me. He and Henry fell out. Simon was in great debt and had told his debtors that King had guaranteed him. This would mean Crown covered him, but he'd not asked the King for his guarantee. Oh, and how Henry was pissed. He then decided that Simon had seduced his sister because she'd vowed a life of purity and chastity and all that kind of stuff, being a grieving widow after the death of the great man William. This seduction by Simon was utter bollocks. Eleanor loved Simon, so this meant that the couple had went to hide in France from Henry for a while. From there, Simon had promised to go on a holy war 2 years before, you know, like all good Christians, he wanted to go and kill for Christ. So he went on to crusades where mysterious shit went on. Details are a little lost in history, but it was all holy and sacred with a touch of, well, sectarianism. Let me get to long and short of it. He had some of his knight brothers come with him and they found the fabled cup of Christ. And Simon drank from it and became, well, he became immortal. Strangely, he was the only one of the seven knights who found the cup to come back. What happened to others is not mentioned, which is a bit weird if you ask me. If t'others drank the, you know, now holy waters and all that, why are they not around? See, that's why you have to have an element of distrust with this one. We get a sense of shit going on behind the scenes with him, but no actual evidence of him being a dick, I suppose. After his immortalization and his crusade, which was very unbloody for Simon, he actually never saw battle in all his time there. He and Henry made up, and then they fell out again, and then they made up again, and then they fell out again, and then they made up again. Get it? Simon, then supported by barons and duchy, came back and fought against his old friend Henry to form a sort of parliament. The king had been forced to give up a level of power to maintain his position, Fenn explained. So he's a proper do-gooder then, I added with disdain. Oh no, he's not a do-gooder. He's done some bloody horrendous things throughout his long life. He's not beyond killing and manipulation. I mean, there was a time he had a thing for the Jews. In the 12th century, he brought a lot of them to the sword and got more of them expelled from Britain. I think his ideas on that have changed. I'm not sure, I think. He was supposedly killed in Battle of Evesham. He led a charge into a vastly superior force, like you do when you're brave and either English or a French knight. His son was killed and finally he himself was said to die by a lance to the neck. His body was said to have been conveniently destroyed by rampaging angry soldiers. It was never recovered. It was supposed to have been just like ripped to pieces. A story does go that his head was removed though, and his testicles were hung on either side of his nose. It wasn't him though. Probably some other poor fucker teabagging himself through eternity. I warn you though. I warn you. This is going to be an interesting situation. The wolf now stretched and wandered briefly through the wall to check on what was happening with the man in the other room. I like that about Fenn, he was cautious. He balanced out my lack of care. I switched off the water and shook myself free of it. I used the rough hospital towel from its hung position over the shower partition. The shower had been fantastic and I didn't really want it to end. But the towel wasn't so fantastic. It had been washed so many times it had the gentle, fibrous quality of, well, wire wool. I used it vigorously to clear my face and body before leaving the cubicle. Fenn wandered back into the room. I knew all was okay with Simon the next door. I didn't even have to ask. I knew that he would have said if there'd been a problem. Any suggestions then? I asked the wolf. He shrugged. I know I go on a lot about seeing a giant wolf shrug, but you need to see it. It's fucking amazing. Well, Will, he's an expert manipulator, a bit like yourself. He will use us to do what he requires and try to get rid of us. Remember, what sort of thing he has deemed himself to be the scourge of. He wants to remove anything that can do harm to his hopeless human herd. Why that is would be interesting to know, but he will be great until whatever it is he wishes us to help him with is done, and then I think it will be us versus him. He looked at me now, those amber pits of fire that were his eyes just roiled. It seemed a severe, pointed moment. I smiled to myself. So, the usual. We're going to have some fun then, Fen. He laughed. Aye. Yeah, the main thing as always, in these serious and dangerous situations, is to have as much fun as can be squeezed out of it. Now dry and with the towel over my shoulder, I walked over to the leather suit bag that Simon had given me. This thing was beautifully handcrafted. I lifted it from the ground. It was heavy and smelt of quality. I unbuckled the leather strap that kept the bag folded and it dropped to its entire length. Hanging it on the hook above the bench, I started to check through it. There was everything a gentleman would need for a night out. Prep for a night out. Maybe apart from condoms. Inside the bag was a bathroom bag with all the shaving and skincare accoutrements. A beautifully fluffy light blue towel that would have been much more pleasant to dry myself with than the towel from the NHS was the first thing that came to hand. Simon knew his planning and preparation. I rummaged through the satchel-style bag to find a Jeeves and Hawks navy blue blazer cut in a pseudo-military style, or a white and pale blue pair of Hackett-tailored shirts, a pair of Bottega Veneta cream chinos and Loke brogue boots. Worryingly, well, I suppose it should be worryingly, all perfect for my size. This was a man who knew my style and knew modern tailoring and fashion too. The socks and boxers were delicious soft white cotton and also handmade and unlabeled. I ignored the cotton vest that was provided. I considered myself to be too cool for vests, although the thought was noted that he'd been extremely considerate. The large leather bag's inner pocket held several items in separate boxes. A pair of plain silver cufflinks were nestled in a velvet box, and a stainless steel Omega Submariner was presented in its original leather case. I was starting to feel human once again. This was bliss. Sometimes it was good to feel human. I mean, I'm a special human, much better than those around me, but a human in essence. As I finally put the blazer on and shook it to fit, I felt something in the breast pocket. Reaching in, I removed a dark brown leather wallet containing £1,000 in £50 notes. This was a nice touch. I even had some money to play with now. Jesus, this man seemed to be able to read my mind. He was a genius. He'd even had my favourite evening cologne sort of added to finish the job. After dressing, I turned and looked in the mirror. I was impressed, but something had changed in my features as I looked. I seemed to be slightly more vulpine in my character. The pupils of my eyes held a, like the glow of embers from a fire, hot and red in the darkness of those black pits. They were not the flames of the werewolf, but I suppose the embers of the man. I approve. My canines also seemed longer and more prominent. My jaw, well, felt, I don't know if felt is a, it felt and looked slightly extended to accommodate them. I looked amazing, actually. Maybe the rebirth had done me some good. I turned to the wolf and presented myself. Even he was impressed. I looked incredible, and he nodded his approval. And finally, with that, I snapped my cufflink shirt sleeves and put together the bag to return it to the other room and to the man waiting for me. And then something moved behind me in the shadows. "I smell you," I said out loud without turning to greet the stranger. It was her. She'd been there from my entrance to the shower room. It was not as if Fen or I would not have noticed her. It had been fun to know that she was there and that she thought that she was unobserved as she, I suppose, perved on me. She laughed.
"You didn't mind me watching, did you?"
she asked. I was fiddling with the buckles and putting the bag together. It was a piece of art. This beautiful leather item had been designed by someone who knew their stuff and wanted to make something that would last forever. No, of course not. I hope you enjoyed it, I laughed, as she did too.
I very much did. I like the role of the voyeur. What do you think of the improvements I made for you?
Again, I looked at the mirror. The dots of red light in those black pupils stood out. I opened my mouth to show the canines and licked the length of one and smiled at her before returning my interest to the bag. I like it a lot, I replied. I saw her smile. Now lifting the satchel, I turned to her to see her in all her glory. Is it glory if she is the evil beast? I'm not sure. In all her unglory, I don't know. I should just leave that discussion right there, should I not? In all her, just in all her is enough, really. I now saw her out in the room, and there she was. She was so beautiful. It was enough to stop my heart for a beat or two. She was so dangerously captivating that I could have just enjoyed her as a piece of art for some time. Her hair was dark, long, and held in a ponytail high on the back of her head. Her skin was pale, and her makeup was well, it was perfect. Someone had read my mind incredibly well again and had given me just what I wanted right now. A high-end tailored goth girl. She wore a dark black leather jacket. It had to have Italian lines. She wore tight black jeans that seemed to have been sprayed onto those perfectly lithe legs. Those perfectly lithe legs terminated in knee-high Jimmy Choo boots. She was a selection of statement pieces on a statement piece of a woman. Boom. God, I wanted her, and she knew it. She stood and presented herself to me, turning slowly on the spot to show all her best angles.
You like?
She asked. I smiled and nodded very much as I walked to the door and turned to her. I now smiled again, exposing my new teeth, opened the door and invited her through. Are you coming? I asked. She nodded and walked past me to the corridor, intruding on my personal space and oozing that fragrance of perfection. Patchouli, sandalwood, amber and vanilla. I followed, transfixed. I would have had to been mad not to, wouldn't I?
The professor. The door opened and a surprise walked in. A mocha-skinned beauty queen. You may have thought I'd be intrigued and excited by this unanticipated gift, but no. I recognised that perfect face which had brought me much joy and much more pain through the years I'd known it. They were not always in this form, but those eyes were always the same. It was them. It was Lucifer Morningstar. Again, this was going to be annoying, but the problem with this particular entity was that there was absolutely nothing I could do to put any constraints on them. So I'd just have to endure them. But to be honest, in the shape they presented me, it wasn't that difficult to endure looking at. I smirked as I finished my drink. These things, they're never straightforward. They walked towards me in the way only they could. The hips way, and the indefinable sensuousness of a samba dancer oozed from them. I caught myself staring. I had to fight to try and bring back some level of self-control. This is the effect that the devil wanted to elicit. A want. A need. A corruption of thought. And lust. They encapsulated lust. I met their eyes and stood from my seated position as a gentleman should at the entrance of a lady. They smiled, the most wonderful smile, as they walked towards me. It was truly hypnotic. I was lost for a moment. It took all my willpower to bring myself back from that happy place to the here and now. I bowed a greeting and wiped my hands on the back of my trousers for some reason before reaching for a hand to greet them. They wholly ignored this attempt at civility and simply took me deep in their arms, hugging me intensely. The smell of coconut butter came as I closed my eyes and enjoyed holding them. Their thick dark hair tickled the nape of my neck as they buried their head into my chest momentarily. I held them a little too firmly against me. I was enjoying the points of contact here and there of their body against mine. She was so soft and feminine. It was a moment of bliss. Eventually, I took their hands from my shoulders and stepped away to look them up and down and appreciate them. I was not being rude or being a toxic male here. They actually wanted this as much as I did, and I'm not just making that up, okay? It's part of their modus operandi. But it must be said, in this form, she was all woman. Her strappy sandals led to pale blue jeans that covered those wonderful legs, hips, and her, behind. She wore a simple white halter top that contrasted beautifully against her milk chocolate skin. She was athletic and voluptuous in build. She was the woman of my dreams. No makeup, perfect with none. Lips pouty and large. Smile of white yet not perfect teeth. Eyes brown and framed by luscious lashes. Her hair was one shade to chocolate from black and free, hanging down her back to the top of her greatest asset. She turned in a little samba pivot as I held her hand. I nodded and smiled my appreciation. Perfect, Lucy. Bravo. Gosh, I don't know how you do it, but you really are bang on, I told her. Well, this had put a rather beautiful yet unwanted spanner in the works. What on earth did the devil want with me this time?
Will, I walked through the doors to see the devil in Simon's arms. They really looked like they knew each other. Fenn and I made eye contact ourselves with a smirk. The glance was enough to share the thought that this were the case, that if the professor was friends with the devil, then we had to be really careful now on how we dealt with him. Well, almost careful. Lucifer turned and smiled and then just nodded at me.
Don't worry, gentlemen, I won't be hanging around. I just wanted to be at the start of this story. I like the good stories and I believe that this one is going to be a great one. And I'm so glad you've met each other again. I will be keeping an eye out for you at my door. Please remember, neither of you is welcome, and that if you do arrive, there will be horrendous consequences. That's what they call a warning shot across your bows. It's not done lightly, because I like both of you so much, but I have to say, come down to me again, and the results will be somewhat significant.
Simon bowed to her in like some sort of gentlemanly way, which I didn't understand the relevance of, but it looked cool. I nodded in my understanding, then the moment was gone. She looked around the room and was drawn to a tray of stainless steel surgical instruments. She leant over it, oohing and ahhing and sorting through the different items like a child sorting through a sweetie tin.
Ah, a classic,
she said out loud, but to no one in particular, as she raised a hand and deftly held a scalpel. She turned and presented it to us with a big smile.
Okay, this is my exit stage left for now. I have someone's night to spoil, and this looks like just the item I need to do it with.
She told us. She then just turned and left the room. We both felt a little lost as the double doors closed behind her. Even Fenn was staring at the doors that slowly came to rest. The glamour had gone and I was slightly bereft. The other man now was, well, smirking and staring at me.
Don't worry too much about that one. They have that effect on everyone, I'm afraid. I first met them in 1348. Funny story with the whole thing, actually. She tempted me. They did a fine job, I have to say. I was close to doing something irrevocable, but, well, I managed to hold it together. Just. I think she's used to getting her own way, and I annoyingly amused her. She has been a frequent guest in my life ever since, I have to say, old chap. But she, the devil, that is, has style.
I laughed in response. She really, really did.
Tell me, Will, What did you see when you looked at them?
He asked in a conspirational manner. I just shook my head in reply. Do you know what, Simon? I could never do it justice in description, I told him. He looked back at the doors and sighed.
Justice?
He said, shaking his head.
Right, Will. Are you satisfied with the outfitting I gave you?
He asked as he picked his jacket up off the rack of lights before him and put it back on hurriedly. I looked myself over. It's almost perfect, I said, thanking the man as he returned the shot glasses to his case and then put them back in his pocket.
Good, good.
As he sat packing his pockets, I could tell his mind was elsewhere as he thought. After he seemed happy that he'd got all his gubbins in the right places, he picked up the suitcase from my feet and smiled.
Are you, ready to go then?
He asked. I've not really agreed to help you yet, I told him. He smiled an ingratiating smile at me and sighed as though what was doing was, in fact, just wasting his time, which, to be honest, it really was just doing.
And are you going to?
Yes, I replied.
Then we need to go,
he said with an element of exasperation.
We only have a few moments left before everyone arrives and makes this much more complicated here.
Hold on a minute. How on earth do we get the two of us back past security? Will they not have questions about who the fuck I am? He passed me an ID card. It said Jason Mansfield, Mortician, upon it.
This should get us past the police and to the car,
he reassured me.
Amazing what people give you when there's a state of emergency. Right, Fen. Will, follow me.
We walked to the doors and into the corridor. We walked together, but there seemed no rush, but there again we were making good time.
Any questions while we walk?
He asked. I've got loads. Firstly, was that Doctor Who came in? I asked.
Yes. Yes, indeed, that was the Doctor. But please, don't be too impressed. Between you and me, the man's an utter imbecile. Ever notice how wherever he goes, calamitous things seem to keep happening?
I nodded.
Well, what's the one constant there?
He asked as I, shook my head.
It's bloody him. The man's a magnet for trouble.
He sort of spat. I laughed in disbelief. What next? I asked. Other fictional characters? Sherlock Holmes, for instance? The professor stopped, grabbed my shoulder and turned toward me, making very, very serious eye contact.
What do you know about him?
He asked. I could tell there was something in that reply that was more profound than anything intimated in the question. Nothing. I just picked a random fictional character, I told him. He paused, holding my eye contact. It seemed he was assessing whether or not I was being truthful. Eventually, he relaxed and began walking again.
Well, thank God for that. Last bloody thing we need is that bastard turning up.